Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus calls fishermen to be fishers of men. These men would be his disciples. That means that they would learn from Jesus. The word disciple means student or pupil. And that's exactly what these men would do. They would spend 3 years of what seems to be like residential seminary training in order to become pastors, in order to become apostles. The word apostle meaning sent one. Before Jesus would send these men out, he would teach them. He would show them what his mercy looked like. He would show them why God gave a law, and that when we fail at that law, when those men who he called to be his pastors failed at completing the law, that he would die for their sins. He showed them this. Because the truth is that pastors are not perfect. We are not given indelible character as is believed in some church bodies. No, the fact is that we as pastors fail. We fail God, we fail our families, and we fail you. We sin, just like you do. And when we sin, we need the same words of absolution that you do. The truth is that pastors also need pastors. We need a father confessor who we can go to, confess our sins, and receive the words of holy absolution. We crave it because we need it. We need to confess our sins just as you do. Think about these words that Peter cried out at seeing how miraculous Jesus was. Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Pastors cry out that same thing, and so do you. Our sin weighs us down. And we cry out to a merciful God who loved you so much that he sent his son to die in your stead. When you are toiled with your sins, when you feel so weighed down, look at the cross. Be reminded of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Be reminded that when you don't feel loved at all, God still loved you. He loved you enough to do that. The pastoral office is an important office. God raises up men to be pastors to proclaim the word, both the law to those who don't want to hear it, and the gospel to those who desperately need to hear it. God raises up pastors to administer the sacraments, to be his instruments to baptize, to be his instruments to announce holy absolution, to be his instruments by which he borrows our mouth to proclaim Christ's words once again over plain bread and wine, that what we receive is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. It is a distinct office. It is set up in the church as a place of authority to be the under-shepherd of the chief shepherd. So God calls sinful men like me, to be your pastor, not because I'm better than you, but because it is a distinct thing. God has placed all of you into what we call vocation, that is a calling, voco, vocare, a calling. You have a calling that God has placed you into. I think too often we spend so much time thinking about what we can't do that we forget how beautiful it is the ways that we can serve God. It is true that we make a distinction between the pastoral office, but not any man can do it. Not any man in our congregation at any time can simply get up in the pulpit and preach. Not any man at any time can simply walk to this font and baptize anybody he wants, or get up at this altar and proclaim the words and distribute the sacrament. No, the church calls men from the field, from the seminaries, who have been certified by the seminaries, who have signed off that this man has spent time learning God's word in season and out of season to be your pastor. But just because you're not a pastor doesn't mean that your roles are any less important. Because if you think that, or if I've ever given that impression, then I am sorry, because that is not true. Your vocation is equal and sometimes even greater than the pastoral office. Think about the ways that God has you serve. Yes, we could spend time complaining about the things, the distinctions in the church, how there are some things that we only allow men to do, including the office of pastor. But why would we do that? Why would we spend so much time complaining about what we can't do that we lose sight of what we can do? It makes sense that acolytes, the word acolyte means follower, an office set up by the church that young men might learn the ropes of the pastoral office. That's why they wear vestments, a cassock and a kata. That is why they follow, they sit in the chancel, they spend time with the pastor, hoping and praying that someday God might call them into the ministry. And even if God doesn't call them into the ministry, he calls them in other ways. He might call them to be a leader in his church, no matter where he might send him to live. It is a good position. But just because you can be an acolyte or not an acolyte doesn't make you better than other people. Just because you can or can't be a chairman of the congregation or of a board does not mean that you are any less than. And it is not some arbitrary rule. I think sometimes people think that the men who are involved simply make arbitrary rules as though we decide for ourselves. But that's not true. It's the Bible. And listen to what God's word says. 1 Timothy 2. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. St. Paul would continue in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop or pastor, overseer, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Those are heavy words. Words that every pastor hears before he enters that office. Or give consideration to what St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Now again, is this just some chauvinist 2,000 years ago who wrote these words down to benefit himself? No. St. Paul continues. Or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. We are bound to the scriptures, not to what I think, not to what I feel, not to what our chairmen feel, not any of that. We are bound to the scriptures. Don't for a second think that somehow an elder is more important to God than the various vocations that he has placed you. Don't think for a second that a pastor is any more important than being a mother. Think about that. Being an elder, being a chairman, being an acolyte, being a pastor, how are any of those things more important than growing life, than sustaining life, than nurturing life? Women have been given a beautiful role to play. far exceeding what many men are given to do. And the second we realize that, the better off we will be. So don't spend so much time thinking about what God has not given you to do, but rather think of the ways that God has given you to serve. You all have a part to play in this family. Give consideration to St. Paul's words to the Ephesians. He himself, that is Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to be a perfect man. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What good is it if the foot tries to be a hand? You are his body, created for his service. There are so many ways that you serve God. Yes, your vocation often ties in with what you do for a living. And yes, God is at work with you in that place. God has placed you with those people that they might hear or see the gospel at work in you, that they might see that you are different because you have hope, because you have joy, that you are ready to give a defense of why that hope is in you. Why do you not need to be so depressed like the world? Because you know that the world will pass away. You know that Jesus is coming back. And you know that when he comes back, you will be with him for eternity. That's why we don't have to be depressed like the world. That's why we don't have to wallow in fear and trembling of what the world might do to us. What is the world to me? Think about all the ways that you serve in your household. Maybe it's as a father, as a husband, as a mother, as a wife, as a sister or brother, a son or daughter, a grandparent. All of those are different vocations that God gives you to share the gospel. You don't need to be a pastor to tell someone what Jesus has done for them. And I hope that that comes readily to you. I hope that God has empowered you, that through his Spirit has given you the ability to open your lips and proclaim the wonderful works that Jesus Christ has done. There are so many ways that you can serve. In your homes, to your family first, and also here in this place. You can be an usher. If you are good at caring for a building, I mean, give this a fact, right? If it wasn't for George and our trustees, this building would probably fall apart. It's true. These guys are fantastic. You might be able to serve in that way. Do you like to work with your hands? Can you make phone calls? These are important things, and these guys work together. Perhaps you care about education. We have a board for that, Board of Parish Education, a board that comes together and discusses what might be best for our Sunday school, what might be best for our preschool, or, if the Lord so choose, for a school that we might have. You could be a Sunday school teacher or an aide. You could be on the Board of Finance. I couldn't. I'm not that good with numbers. But for some reason, God gives some of you the ability to work with numbers. That's a place to serve. The Board of Stewardship is a board that focuses on the way that God uses us, that God has given us time and talents. I know that stewardship oftentimes gets wrapped up in giving, but that's not the only thing that it does. Yes, we should return to the Lord, but not just money. Our time and our talents. God has created you. He has given you time. He has given you the ability to serve. Social ministry is a very important board in our church. It is a board that reaches inside the congregation, that helps with our shut-ins, and reaches out. It does evangelism. It proclaims the word of God. It lets our community know that we are here to serve them, to bring them in, that they might hear the message of Jesus Christ. Parish fellowship makes sure that we have events that we might work together, time for fellowship with one another, brothers and sisters in the same Christ. We have the altar guild, Ladies' Aid. Ladies' Aid that comes and gathers and spends time in God's Word, but also sends care packages out to our college students. We have the Fall Fair, which we need volunteers for, the rummage sale, Vacation Bible School, which we'll quickly approach. We need people who are willing to serve in all these capacities so that children and adults might know the love of Christ. We have the landscaping. We have a funeral committee. We have a cemetery association. Lord willing, we would love to have a choir. We would love it if your voice lends itself to sing. You don't have to be the best singer in the world to join the choir. That our voices might join together and that we might sing out the praises of Him who loves us. There are so many ways, and I'm sure I forgot one, and if I did, let me know. But there are so many ways that God might call you to serve this family. The Lord has made you. The Lord has blessed you. The Lord has given you salvation, not won from you or me, but given free by Jesus. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the moments when you recognize your sinfulness, cry out to Him, "Depart from me, for I am unclean," and hear the words of Jesus Christ, "I forgive you of all of your sins." The church sings. Then let us follow Christ our Lord and take the cross appointed, and firmly clinging to His word in suffering be undaunted. For those who bear the battle strain, the crown of heavenly life obtain. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.